before about when we were coming back on the plane from Little Rock for my niece's wedding, and it was really turbulent, and like the air things had dropped down and everybody was freaking out. And so I knew that if I didn't act really quick, those kids were going to get scared. So I just put my hands up in the air and I said, "Ooh wee, feel that, whoa, man, that's like a ride, whoa, come on." They had their hands up in the air and they were just laughing and having a ball. And pretty soon you could feel that the tension in the plane had released because they were pointing at the kids, you know, enjoying the ride instead of fearing the ride. But I read a story this week about a little girl that took it one step farther. And I think tonight this is how we need to be looking at our battlefields for faith. Because we're fighting, guys. We are fighting this battle in our minds because God is stronger than anything we see. And I see so many people that are worried about what they see and what they hear. There was a pastor who was on a plane, and the plane had experienced that same kind of turbulence. And he noticed at the back seat, there was a little girl sitting there, and she was reading a book and playing with a doll. And no matter how things were, the carts were sliding back and forth, but the little girl was unmoved, and everybody else was freaking out. So he said that after the flight was over and they'd made it, he went back to her, and he said, "Can you tell me why you were so calm during all this flight when all the adults were so worried?" And she said, "Oh, that's easy. My daddy's flying the plane, and he's taking me home." And, you know, I think that that's kind of how we have to have that mentality. God's piloting whatever's going on in our life, and he's going to take us home. Nothing's going to outdo us. But I want you to realize that through those two little stories, there's two things you need to realize. Fear is taught, and so is faith. And there's a perspective that we have to hold on to, and we have to not only keep ourselves in that faith sight, but we have to help other people with it as well. So real quickly, let's review some of our basic training enlistment that we've studied so far, because God is a God of order. So what we see he's doing, we're not just going to hand out the armor and say, "Here, put this on," because that's not the way you do it. First of all, he talked to, in chapter 5, the husband, the wife. Starting in chapter 6, he's talking to the children. And then he goes on, and last week as we studied, he talked to servants about how you continue to serve the one who's in authority over you. You don't look at that person and question them. You're doing everything you do for the Lord. And truly, sometimes there are situations where that's the only way you're going to make it through, is if you're doing it for the Lord, because the world is unfair. But you have to remember, if I am on his clock and I do it for him, all the rewards are going to come from him as well. So there's a responsibility in that. Number one, there's obedience in the home. He wants that first, for us to follow that example. And then we have a responsibility representing Christ in all of our affiliations. You know, I don't have to tell people that I serve Christ. Did you know that people figure that out? And I think that that's a blessing. I don't have to go in announcing, "Hey, I'm representing the Lord Jesus Christ." They will either say, "What's different about you?" or, "Why would you do that?" And that always gives me the opening. So you have to remember that God has me here to bring him glory, but I don't have to exalt myself for that to happen. So yes, we need to be responsible in being obedient. We start it in the home. That's where we learn it. And then we'll have that automatic obedience to God, recognizing him as our authority. But we need to have equal responsibility with the word and with our actions. And sometimes we need to learn that it's an action to be silent when we want to talk, as well as an action to talk when the world wants us to be silent. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. You can't fight for the light in the armor of darkness. And I'll tell you why. Because any imposter who's trying to put on the armor of God, pretty soon his actions are going to tell on him. you know, during the wars, there's always people who'll put on, you know, the uniform of the opposite side and try to infiltrate and get stuff. But their actions are always going to tell off on them. So we need to remember that. As believers, when we're about to put on the armor of God, I can't have darkness as any of the tools that I'm going to use, because here's what's going to happen. My motive, if I've not been trained to be obedient to the voice of Christ, number one, because I recognize his faithfulness, I'm going to fail without him. But number two, that's the work of the kingdom. Listen, I'm not here to get what I can get from God. I'm going to get what I get as a natural flow of me serving him and serving in the kingdom to lead other people to him. But when we come in here, can you just imagine if you're not trained, if you're not focused in on that, fighting just for the light and not with darkness, what happens is you can represent the uniform, and then all of a sudden you decide you don't like somebody on your team and you just shoot them with the weaponry you have. Like, you get court-martialed and kicked out. But I'm saying this because your actions, how you follow instructions, have to be so tuned in on what God says, done the way he wants it to say. And I've said this so many times. Please listen and let this sink in. We can't just say, I'm operating in the Word of God. He says, go to them and tell them what they need in their life. I got to have the character of God, too. I've got to be tuned into the Holy Spirit. Because, guys, there are some times that the enemy is setting a believer up to go and tell somebody what's wrong with them, and really, that's the thing that pushes them to give up. We have to be tuned into the Holy Spirit and have the character of Christ and not just the word to say. So this reminds me of Joshua and Caleb. You know, when they went in to take their promised land, and I'm teaching all of this because we've got to get back to realize, what benefits do I have as a believer? Joshua and Caleb were the two spies, you'll remember, when God had given them the promised land, that they said, I'm going to, yes, they saw the giants, but they said, hey, we can, if God says we can take it, we can take it. And 10 others said no. So instead of going with God's report, they went with the majority report, hello, America today, and they said, we cannot do this. I believe in the natural and in the supernatural. I believe this to the core of my being. We are being called to invade darkness and take the promised land. I believe the enemy's had it too long. I believe that these are things that God has promised to us and to our children. I believe there are prayers that have been prayed, even in this building, in that prayer room. And I keep praying, Lord, we water those prayers because they were for every generation, the same as Jesus, and we have to believe that. So I want the report of Joshua and Caleb. But guys, even though Joshua and Caleb believed, they had to wander with the doubters. And I think some of us are in the cycle of wandering with some doubters. But I'm going to tell you what, our time is coming to go in and possess that land. And I want to be ready. But even though Joshua was the one chosen after Moses died, do you remember what God had to keep telling him? Be strong, be courageous. Be strong, be courageous. Even though we have the Word of God, we still have to believe in His Word more than what we see and more than what we fear. And one thing that I'm telling you is happening is I've been talking to people and hearing more and more about people and their rest, their sleep is being interrupted by dreams, and their fears are coming through their dreams. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because you're standing up to the enemy consciously and saying no. So subconsciously, he's trying to come in and plant fear. Oh, this is going to happen. This is the worst thing. Take authority over your sleep before you get ready to go to sleep. And just say, Lord, I'm in agreement with you. And if he begins to show you places in your sleep where you're afraid, then when you wake up, you say, God, I realize that's a place of weakness. I'm inviting you in. I want that to be taken care of, and I'm not going to walk in fear, and just move forward. The enemy cannot take your rest. So we're going to trust God. Then there's David. And I want to talk about David because he didn't see a giant. He saw God's purpose. And here's the thing. He came in and he said, if there's a cause, it's worth it. If there's a cause here, isn't it worth it? If God has said to do this, isn't it worth it? And I think that we got to remember that God is calling us to speak life over this dark world, because there's a purpose, there's a cause, and the cause is that we still need to show that we believe no matter what's going on, because God wants to get some glory. And when God gets the glory and when his name is lifted up, guys, when there's no other solution, you're going to see people begin to trust and begin to trust in God and to mistrust what they've been doing that's been keeping them bound. If there isn't a cause, he's saying to them, hey, but God has said, who's this guy to come in here and say what's against what God said? He was taunted for it. He was made fun of it for it. And he was taught to even think that he didn't have the qualifications. Let me make it clear. If you're seeing a giant, it's because you have the qualifications to override that thing. It's because your basic training has been in enough. You've been in situations where you had to trust. I believe that there are people who are just going to trust because they hear the word and they believe it. Most of them are babies. Mama said, I can do it. I can do it. We just have that childlike faith. Then there's people who have to be broken before they'll believe. Why? Because that they're no longer dependent on themselves as having all the answers. And they have to come to the end of themselves to realize, God, I need your help. So brokenness is a blessing for some people. And then there are people who just really have to come to the end of all they're trying to fix it. They don't ever get broken. They just have to keep trying until at one point or another they recognize, I cannot do this, no matter how many ways they've tried. But whatever the reason is, if you and I are standing there not looking, oh, they'll never believe, oh, that person's my enemy. We're going to study this next week, but we're not going to look at the natural as our enemy. It's supernatural. And God has given us the authority, this is what we've already been studying, to hear, to obey, because our authority is going to represent him at all times. So I think that that I have to keep my eyes focused on what he's promised us and not on the giants. Would you agree that we're in a place right now where all we see are giants? You know, we support Bill Wilson in New York. He's one of our missionaries that we support. He's a home missions. And this little girl, I don't know if you can see her picture, her name is Kaia, K-A-I-A. And she came into their Sunday school, which they have over 200,000 kids, New York and around the world, really, that they reach out to, yes, in several impoverished countries. One of the things they do is feed them. Well, Kaia hadn't been there long enough, and they really didn't know her story. But she was on the news, and they recognized that was one of their little girls. And what happened was Kaia went to school, and she kept saying, begging for food off people at lunch, because she wasn't on any programs, no money was sent, and no lunch was sent. And so the kids got tired of her begging for food, so they told the teacher. So the teacher, not knowing, called in the parents. Kaia's mother had died. She was now with her father and a stepmother. And when they called the parents in, it so humiliated this stepmother, because what had happened was she was punishing Kaia and withholding food from her, not cleaning and working hard enough at the house. And the little girl was literally being starved. So when the teacher called them in and caught them, the stepmom was so embarrassed that when she got home, she said, I'm going to teach you a lesson for embarrassing our family. And she poured boiling hot water all over her body. And the little girl had 60% burns all over her body. And Bill was so distraught over this because she was one of theirs, but one that hadn't been reached. But I want to tell you something about this story. There's a giant that's called hatred, and there's a giant in this country that's called self-righteousness, and it wants to do what it thinks other people need. And you guys know I've been teaching this for probably months now. any society where God is taken out, every person is going to be led by a passion. We have to be passionate to move. And if God is not in our society, the passion that is unleashed is hatred and rage. And rage does not just want to say, oh, that's okay, I disagree with you. It's, I want to ruin you, I want to destroy you, and I want you to be where you are humiliated and nobody will have anything to do with you again. It's not about reconciliation. It's not about leading people into truth. It's about self-truth and being so right that this rage and this ungodly passion moves over. So that's just one example of what's happening in the world. But I want to tell you something. Because of this situation, I believe this little girl will not only be taken care of, but I believe that she will be a marker for Jesus Christ. I believe that the ability to come in and support her now, where she didn't have it once her mom died, I believe she's going to be better off. I believe God will heal her young wounds. And I want to tell you something. There's going to be testimony that comes from this. There's going to be power that comes from this, because there's nothing the enemy can do to you that God will not return to you in full blessing. But we will suffer because we're in this world and it's unfair. There's no two ways about it. That's why we have to keep our eyes focused on God to say, Lord, though they slay me, I'm still going to serve you and I'm still going to believe. And I just think that it's so important that we don't see this. And instead of Bill saying, okay, well, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of seeing the injustice, let's just quit. What they're saying is, let's get more help. Let's begin to reach out to more people so that we might prevent this from someone else. You're either going to use the things that are happening to you and in this world as the reason to lay down and quit, or the reason to stand up and say, God, you're bigger. You're either going to see a giant that's bigger than God, or you're either going to see a God that's bigger than the giant and bigger than you and me being used as his instrument of peace in this world. So we have to stay in focus with him. But here's what's happened. We're going to be moving into the armor, into our text. And he said in this text, he's saying, finally. That word finally, do you know what that means? Finally means there's a rest. There's a rest. There's something else that's coming. But finally, for you and me, this is the end of one thing, and it's the beginning of another. But that's a place of rest. Here's the rest of the story. That's where God's going to show up, and you and I are going to be able to rest and trust in him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So here's the thing. Might is an inherent power or force. You can display might without using it. You ever see some of those flexing competitions where they flex their muscles and they show their might, but there's a reserve of the strength. There's nothing behind it. It's not put into action. It's just for show. Okay? That was like Goliath. That was what he did. He didn't do anything. He just put it out on show. And the enemy knows that we are so sight motivated, and our first filter is, how's this going to affect me? Well, David heard the report that there's a reward on earth and a reward in heaven. And as believers, there's a reward on earth and there's a reward in heaven. Because he says, when you follow me, it will go well with you. We can trust him. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to suffer things in this world. It just means that in the end of it all, I'm going to come out on top. Doesn't mean I may even see some of those things on earth, but I'm going to have peace and nobody's going to take that from me. Then there's power. Power is the exercise of might. So trust in his might and his power. He's not just going to show himself strong, but there's a point where that's going to be put into action. Power is the exercise of might. It is displayed with youth. It is the operation of strength and battle. You can't realize God's might in your Christian life if you're passive. If I'm not applying the power, putting the action behind his might, then I'm never going to know what it's like to win a battle, to get that encouragement, and to have that reference of a testimony. I don't believe there's anybody in here tonight that doesn't have a testimony or a reference point for God being faithful. I think that every one of us have a reference point of how God's been faithful. The thing that I think is so sad is that God, in His love and mercy, has protected us. There's things we don't even know the enemy had planned for us that he's averted and stopped from happening. And that's where we have to know, God, you have kept me from things that would have destroyed me. And I'm just going to be thankful for them. And I'm going to speak thanks for the things that I haven't seen and the things that I don't know. And again, I want to stress this point. We're not working for our salvation, but we are working for the kingdom of God on earth. As His children, I'm working for Him. You know, my dad, I've shared with you guys before, in our family business, Dad was able to say, this is your job. He recognized that what my mom did at the home enabled him to do the work that he had to do to provide the living. He didn't look at it like she didn't carry her part. And he, even though he was not a believer, because she was, I remember every Sunday there was money out on the table for her to take and give to church. And I know that even in those times, guys, our family, my brother and I, we worked in the store, we worked at home, he taught us things. And I went in this nail shop the other day, and there was the mom and dad, the son and the daughter, and there was a grandmother all working in this nail shop. And someone in the shop said to the son, why would you want to work here? And he said, well, I don't know. I guess it's just what my family does. He said, but where else can you get paid to sit and listen to all these stories women tell, and we get to laugh all the time and sit here, and then they tip me at the end of it? And I thought, you know, that's what he's talking about, guys, where we line up in agreement. You and I have that sense of family. When we pray and we see an answer to prayer, we all celebrate those answers to prayer because we're all in on the same page of it. We can share in this joy and know when we hear testimonies of what God's done, that's what I'm talking about. Seeing the work of the kingdom come to life, not working for your salvation, but working that other people will believe because we're still in the same family. And no matter how horrible or how tragic these stories and these situations are, there is glory to God at the end of it. And we need to be looking for Him and exercising, not just, well, I'm a child of God, I'm going to believe, but turning and saying to the enemy, you're a liar, I will not listen to this, I'm putting my faith in God, and I am not going to be destroyed, and neither are my children, and neither are their children, and there's still hope for the world because I'm still in this world, and the only time there's not going to be hope for this world is when He takes me out. And we have to stand faith. Here's the thing. I've got to rely on His might and then do the work. I love what Steve had said on Sunday, and I shared it again in my review before I spoke this past week. And what he said is justification, Christ in me from the past. Sanctification, Christ is in me today. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? It was sanctification, justification, and then glorification. Where is He going to be taking me? But you cannot have justification if you don't have sanctification, then you're void of any glorification. It's better if I have it written the way He said it, but that's the gist of it. So we know that we have to be moving forward. Why? Is God a taskmaster? No, but if you're not moving forward, you become the prey for the enemy. Your stagnancy is an alarm to him that you're weak and that he can come in and lie to you. So I have to be always moving and working, not for salvation, but building that spiritual strength that I don't see a giant one that's going to keep me from having what God said. I'm telling you, I don't know if you're listening tonight or not, or if you're just soaking it in as fast as you can, but I want you to understand me. We are in a battle. And your prayers are being answered, but we must seize this time to say, The enemy will not have my child. The enemy will not have my children's children. The enemy will not have my friends. And we've got to start speaking life over people who are weak, because at one time or another, you and I are going to be weak, and we want to sow that so we can rip that back. The giant is a liar. God is the one who's faithful. In his message, Martin Lloyd-Jones listed some things where Christians were wasting their strength. And I want to share that list with you because I thought it was so good. And here's what happens. You know, guys, that evaporation is, if there's a puddle, like it rained and you've got these puddles, when those puddles become stagnant, if there's no flow into it and no use of it, when this sun, and it's already come out, is going to dry that up by evaporation, the heat, listen in the spirit, the heat, the trials, will cause whatever life form has fallen to give life, it's going to take it with it and dry it up. And here are the things that he made. I think it's a pretty good list. I'm not really a list person on these kind of things, but I think it's a pretty fair list of what he believes are things that are taking strength and sapping the strength of the Christian. Number one is committing to too many spiritual works or things. You want to know that you're doing what you need to do because God has called you to do it, and not just because you're being religious in it. Okay? Too much conversation. Let's leave that one alone. Arguments, debates, and wrangling. You know, everybody wants to debate something. I'm so sick of debating things. There's just a truth. Where are you going to stand on the truth? And if the truth doesn't have the character of God in it, it's just a man-made opinion, and it's going to weaken you and me, because I believe that opinions about the Bible that are filled with man are nothing more than to weaken and tell you why you can't attain to something and why there's going to be a limit, or how if you're not doing it this way, it's not right. Let me tell you something. God is so creative. The same way he may tell Tabitha, eat chocolate cake, and tell me, don't eat it, are both going to be places of for his glory. Maybe she's going to be the world's best chocolate cake maker, and she's going to take that cake to work and win favor with the people that she works with, and they're going to begin to notice her and her faithfulness just over chocolate cake. And there's going to be people who are going to say to me, hey, if that lady can have the stamina not to eat that, I'm going to join her. Do you understand what I'm saying to you on a base level? Nobody can tell you how to live out your life with Christ. Even in applying the word, you've got to hear from God, because there's a time for action and there's a time to be silent. And you don't let anybody tell you how to do that but the Holy Spirit, because the word tells us that he is the one who's interceding for us, and he is hearing what the Father has to say, and that he's going before the Father. And I won't get my prayer wrong. I believe it's John 9:4, where he says that he's going to go and I'm going to be able to do and speak the will of the Father, because there's a point where I'm praying and he takes over and takes the intent of my heart. Even if I'm praying wrong, guys, even if I'm praying selfish, please stay with me on this. The Holy Spirit will still speak the will of the Father and intercede for me on my behalf, knowing where I'm headed that I can't see, and withholding from me what I think I want that would destroy me, or releasing to me what I need that I might have the strength and courage to carry on. Laziness, that's another one, just lazy. Guys, we need to work, because he says the night is coming when no man can work. I need to be ready and working, and I don't need 30 minutes more sleep if I'm not filling my soul with ammunition for what the enemy's going to come over me. I'm telling you, 30 minutes more is going to keep a lot of us from hearing the right word of God. Too much time in the wrong company. Yeah. Are they believers or are they doubters? Too much foolish talk and joking. There's fun to be had. I'm not against it. But I'm telling you, if that's all people want, is just to have foolish talk and joke all the time, then there's never going to be growth. Love of money and career. Love of money and career. a desire for respectability and an image, an unequal yoking with an unbeliever. I don't believe that's talking about marriage, because many people are unequally yoked in a marriage, and I've already told you, I watched my mother live through that. But my mother took the Bible to believe that because she believed my dad and everything he touched was covered through the blood of Jesus because he was married to her. Because you're one. And my mother also, she didn't get everything right. There were times she'd cry and have a, why don't you go to church with me? And try to use guilt or whatever. She's human. But I want to tell you what, at the end of her life, my mother got to see my dad know Jesus Christ. And guys, it wasn't just in the 50s, 60s, or 70s. Okay? And I know this. One day she woke up and she said, I feel so bad. She said, I realize that your dad, every time I left to go to church, was watching church on television. But because I kept beating him up with the word, he didn't want to hear it, and he didn't want to go with me. And because men in the church were hypocrites, and dad saw how they lived, not an excuse for my dad. We should override that and still want to serve the Lord regardless of if everybody's a hypocrite, I'm still moving with the Lord. But the point she made was, she said she realized that he could argue the word with her. When she'd say, well, the Bible says, he'd say, but it also says, and she'd be like, okay. And so she told me, she said, I realized one day that your dad's sanctuary, his church, was sitting out in that swing in the backyard around nature, and that God was ministering to him and speaking to him. And she said, I realized that when things were bad at the store or something was wrong with one of you kids, I'd watch him pace that garden, and I'd watch him sit in that swing and swing until he got a piece. And she said, I misjudged your father all those years. Guys, listen to me. If you're unequally yoked with someone, you're going to know it, because they're going to have more of an influence on you than you're going to have on them. Mark it with your kids. Mark it with you. Mark it with friends at work. Mark it. And separate yourself, or either be strong enough to say, I've made a mistake. I need to make a standard here, because God is my provider. Ugly, ungodly entertainment. This is huge. Ungodly entertainment. Ideas are being placed in our kids right now in this church. I know kids that are being allowed to watch, and I'm not just saying they're from this church. We have a lot of kids from the neighborhood that are attending here. Praise God. But they're being allowed to watch zombie movies and Living Dead stuff and stuff where people come back and they demonize people. They're watching all this violence and all this anger and rage, and because they see it effective on the screen, they're too young to know it's not real. Gemma Joy, my little granddaughter, who's 4 years old, told me. She came in, and she had this little unicorn thing the other day, and I said, now, Gemma, you know that's not real, right? I know that. And when I got to school, Harper said to me, yes, they are real. And I said, Harper, unicorns is not real, and you need to quit saying that. And she said, because I know it, honey. They're not real. They're just people like them right now. I was like, okay, then we're good. But do you understand that little kids that age believe now that they're real, that they even existed? And it's something out of imagination. Do you know that you and I can succumb to things and think that our marriage should set a standard because of somebody we saw on television, so it's not a high enough standard? Or today, that we need to lower our standards because we're missing out on some fun, and we need to lower our standards. They're the one having fun. I'm going to tell you something. You've never had fun until you have laughed and rejoiced with a group of Christians over something wonderful happening, and you've shared that joy and that laughter in a place where you don't have to have anything to make you uninhibited or to make you lose your stress. I can't tell you. It is a constant with us. Every time we are with Gary and Vicki Lehman and we go out, our friends from Georgia, and bless their hearts. They've been so good to pay for us to go to so many things we could have never afforded. It never fails. When we are with them, we will get so tickled over something, and there will be somebody around us who will say, we want to order what they're drinking. And we just laugh. I mean, like, tears are coming out of our eyes because it's hysterical, because people are looking for something to supply what you have, and the world has taught them it's got to come from a bottle or a pill or some kind of entertainment to give you euphoria. I'm telling you, there is nothing more fulfilling at retreat when we get together and we laugh till we are crying, and some crazy woman gets up and just grabs somebody else, and they just start dancing and having a great time, and you know that you're glorifying the Lord. Guys, that is just a win-win situation. So at the end of this, it's not just ungodly entertainment. It's a wrong attitude toward or doubting the Word of God. And of course, here's the thing. We can always tell by examining ourselves whether our strength is increasing or decreasing. That's always a good thing. God, am I stronger than I was a year ago, or am I weaker? And stay with me, keep tracking on this point. Am I weaker because I'm more dependent on you? Okay? And it just looks like I'm weak from adversity, but you're being strong in my life because it's a place where I can't handle it? Or God, am I stronger? Am I beginning to say no to some things that I used to just go along with the flow? Where am I in relation to where I am? Am I letting somebody else influence my joy? Am I letting somebody else influence my walk? Have I let somebody else become a god before you, that it's more important to me what their opinion is than somebody else's? Because you can be fooled. There's people that put on a United States Army outfit and walk in, and they're nothing but a spy and a liar. There's people that are going to come into your life because they want what you have. And they're going to try to appease you with being Christians. You begin to look at the fruit in their life, not to judge them, not to tell them what they've done right or wrong, but you look at the fruit in their life to say, God, is this a relationship where I can truly say I'm closer to you or weaker? And if you're in a relationship where you believe you're saving somebody else, let me just tell you, stop it, because you won't save them. It's got to be them and God. We can lead them, but we can't make choices for them. And that's why he says you've got to pick up your cross and carry it. You know what my cross is? My cross is how the world has judged me, and I don't care. My cross is me making the choice every day to say, God, it's your way, not my way. It can be a burden, but I can tell you he's the burden lifter. So here's the basic training that got lit up. Finally, let's keep a mind sharp. Here's where we got to stay in the light. Everybody's like, ooh, he's lit. I'm going to show you today where the basic training got lit up. In light, I have to stay focused in light of all that God has done for you, not what somebody else has done for me. When I shared that story about our friends, the Lehmans, I'm not puffing them up. I'm puffing God up, because God gave me that friendship at a time where they had nothing and we had nothing. And I want to tell you, we used to take turns going to each other's house in California. We was having our babies at the same time. And we would take turns feeding the other family on Sunday and making something go a long way. And I remember when we could have pot roast, man, we thought that was just excellent. You know, you were really doing something. But I want you to know there was never a meal that we had together that there wasn't joy around the table. But that's to God. The glory's to God. Look what he's brought us through. We saw each other through heartaches and things. That's what I'm talking to you about. In light of all that he has done for you, I'm going to stay faithful. In light of the glorious standing that I have as a child of God, he's given me this power. He's given me this ability. He's given me this authority, not to use against people, but to glorify him. I can overcome hatred. I can overcome bitterness. I can not look at that person and look at God and let it go. And I can, when I'm weak and I just want things to, okay, let's just let this ride along. I can come up in the strength of God and say, I'm done. That's enough. And that authority will come into me, and I can stand where I wasn't able to before. In light of his great plan of the ages that God has made you and I a part of, we're here today. Not because mom and daddy had us at the wrong time. We're here today because God said, Ida, you're going to be alive in March of 2019 because there's work for you to do. I'm here today. Vanessa, you're here today. Not because God said, oh, you were born 10 years too late or 10 years too early, but because where you are today with your information and your love of God, there's something that you and I have to accomplish. Because today, he's made a way for us to fulfill plans and make him look good because he needs to get the glory. In light of the plans for Christian maturity and growth he gives to you and I, there's a light there. There's a guidance. If I can look and stay focused, you know what? This makes me want to quit, but I'm going to grow from this. I'm going to mature from this. And God, now this is kind of like a, you know, just take it for what it's worth. But you know what, God, I'm just going to pull on my big girl underwear and just move into this, and I'm just going to keep trusting you. And if this is wrong, I want you to separate me from it. And if it's right, then God, I want you to protect me through it. Are you with me? In light of the conduct God calls every believer to live, we've been studying this. I don't want to go into the teaching of the armor if the first time the enemy comes after you, you're going to take your authority and run. I want you to know how to use it. And guys, you may not be able to even say it to somebody's face because you know it would destroy them. But I want to tell you, there's times when I can't say things to people, whether it's my kids or a friend or an acquaintance, but I can go in my room. It's not a closet, it's a room, but I shut the door. I don't have a closet to hold me. But I go in there, and this is what I say. I'll say, devil, you're a liar. And my kid may not be making the right choices, but I'm serving a God who can help them and bring them to the end of them quicker, God, so they'll call out to you in hope. God, I see what that person's done, but I'm trusting you that if you brought me this far, God, that you're going to redeem this situation and something good's going to come out of it. How many marriages have I seen where somebody cheated on another person, and because they stood and cleansed it under the blood of the Lamb, that they are the most loyal couples now? I've seen it over and over, but both have to be those who long for that and who want that and who appreciate the forgiveness that they've been given. And in light of the filling of the Spirit and our walk in the Spirit, I don't walk alone. That's a lie of the devil. The Spirit of God is with you everywhere you go. Go to the bathroom. Bend your head over in a drawer at the desk. Go around the corner and just say, God, I will not quit. You are bigger than this giant. And then come out in faith in light of that. And in light of all this, there's a battle to fight in this Christian life. And it's not because it's up to me. It's because there's an authority through me, through everyone in battle. You don't just say the United States Army's a great thing. We're going to war. And you don't send soldiers out. There's work that has to be done to be accomplished through you and me. Because he wants us to take the land around us back for him. It is a proven statistic, guys, that if a church closes in an area, that area will go down at least 30 to 40% with, well, let me just say it like this, will go up in crime 30 to 40% because the church is no longer there. That's a proven statistic. So I want to, like Romans 8:28, believe that all things work together in light. But I know through verse 26 that it's the Holy Spirit that's helping me in my weakness. In verse 28 of Romans 8, I know that the Spirit is the one that's pleading for us in harmony with God's own will. He directs my step. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Guys, before we put armor on, we got to know that we're following his steps. We have to know that we're listening in obedience because it literally is a matter of life and death to take back these places. Annette shared this Saturday with the women, and I asked her if I could share it with you tonight. It's just so good. You know, when they're in the Army, they get these rations, these K rations. Well, we got some P rations. And I've seen these little things in the store that are like P packs for protein. So here's your P to the fourth power. The first one is preparedness. And that's our text today, Ephesians 6:10. There's praise, Psalm 150, verse 6. Worship, guys, worshiping the Lord brings validation to you, and the validation that we get from becoming one with Him realigns me with hope. That's what worship does. Worship invites Him into this mess. And I'm telling you, instead of arguing with people and telling them off, if we would just grab their hands and begin to say, God, we give this to you, Lord, this big mess we're in right now. Jesus, Jesus, we call out and we trust you. How much further could we get along? I'm just saying. Then if we tried to battle it and debate it and make somebody feel bad and prove our point, I'm so sick of that. I don't have to prove my point, because at the end of the day, I believe I've already proven out who I am. My kids know who I am. They may not like it, but they're going to know, even if I missed it. I missed it because I cared about them more than I cared about myself. And that's how it is with you, father to child relationship with the Lord. Prayer. There's a general prayer. And there's a supplication. We studied that on Sunday. We should turn our cares into prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Prayer is general. Supplication is specific. That's the difference between prayer and supplication. Then there's positive thinking. And I'm not talking, I write myself a check out for $1 million and look at it and visualize it and positively think it. What I'm talking about is Philippians 4:8. You keep your mind on the things that are good. You keep your mind on the things that are pure. You keep your mind out of things that say what God can't do. And you keep your mind, and I'll keep my mind, on the things He says. And when we get discouraged, that you, Christina, might come up to me and say, Gay, this looks bad, but I'm telling you, God's going to see you through. And that's the hope I need. That's the hope you need. That's the hope you need, Miss Linda. That's what we have, this powerful thing of sharing the word and encouraging one another. I shared Sunday about, you know, I was trying to have all this faith, you know, and we're headed to the doctor, and I'm like, God, I trust you. God, I have faith in you. And it didn't go the way I thought, and I'm driving home. I'm like, God, I still trust you. I still praise you. And I'm, you know, I may be 40% there, but I'm still saying it. And a bird pooped on my windshield. And I was like, really? And I said it out loud. I was like, really, God? Really? What else could happen? And I just heard Him whisper over my shoulder, because I was trying to use Philippians 4:4-7 that I taught on Sunday about to continue to rejoice. And how can I rejoice in this? And when I saw the bird poop, it was like He whispered to me, rejoice. And I just died laughing. I thought, well, what else? Bird poop. But I didn't finish telling the story. Because when I got home, that night, the rain began to fall. Ooh, listen. And my car, that stuff was cleaned off of my car. And when I got up there the next day, it was like the Lord said to me, Gay, I'll send what you need the way you need it. And no matter what the world dishes out, I'm the one who's taking care of you. And don't forget it. Because I kept thinking, man, now I'm going to have to clean my car. And, you know, it's going to smear on the windshield. And no, it was gone. When He sends His rain spirit, He's going to take care of everything. And that may be trivial to you, but I'm telling you, there's sometimes the most trivial things speak life to me. And He is a life-giving God. And I need to stay in that positive thought that, God, you are bigger than the giant. That's the positive thought I want you to have tonight. So I want to walk in the light. I'm not going to look back. I don't want to have to look successful to this world, because let's be honest, history's proven out. They followed a lot of people that weren't successful, but the world has followed people that were, and every one of them were people who believed in God. You look back through history and find it. They may have a victory for a season, but God's going to raise up the standard. It is, history proves it out. So here's the thing. Like David, is there a cause in your life tonight that's worth fighting for? When everybody else says it's hopeless, I'm asking you, Davids, in this room tonight, isn't there a cause that's worth fighting for? When you get weary from just keep speaking life over your kids, isn't that a cause worth fighting for? Hasn't God already shown you the victories enough that we should trust him? Or has the enemy spoken so much how this can't happen that we're no longer focusing on praise for what God has done and what he will do, but we're looking at what isn't? And how do we know that what isn't a blessing? And is it the fight? Is this fight too big for me or too big for God? Decide who's in control tonight. Because I want to tell you, he's wanting to work in our lives. Because there's people out there that need us to stand and they need us to believe. But I don't want to go into the armor of God if we're just going to set it aside as something that we just need in battle. The armor of God is meant for us to put on every day. And it's not just about salvation. It's about revelation and making up the kingdom of God because somebody needs you. Don't belittle it. You don't understand. I don't do what you do. I think most of the most powerful things I do are with people outside this church because when I walk in a room, I'm able to say, God, you are operating in me, and I take authority over the atmosphere in this room right now if it's negative. You can do it. And I'm just telling you, we're going to put on that armor and we're going to know how to use it and we're going to use it in the right way and not as an abusive way, as a taskmaster, but as someone who's looking out for the good of all. Amen? Will you stand with me? I just want to pray that prayer tonight and I want to pray it in faith. God, we see the promised land that you, God, have prepared us to have more than what the world has said we can have. And God, we're invading territory we've never been in before. I'm not praying right now. I'm talking to you guys in this room. I want you to know that there's some things that you're going through that no other generation in your family has known victory in a marriage. No other generation in your family has seen children raise up and begin to worship the Lord. No other generation in your family is going to know how to use insight to bless the kingdom of God, but you're going to have it. I'm telling you this. So, Father, tonight, take us into those places of victory, God. Move us into this place, God, where we've never been. And I'm praying, God, that we recognize that the cause is worth the battle. Because you live, I will live also. Because you have made a way, there will be a way made for me. And because, God, when I am weak, you are strong, I'll still fight. There's a cause to be had, God. We believe for this church, God. We believe for this community, God. We believe for our nation, God. We believe, God, for the teachers, God, who are still fighting that battle of truth. Bring strength right now to those, God, who are standing in those places. And God, may we be a people who say, you're bigger than the giant and you're bigger than me. Thy will be done. We give you praise for it tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. God is good. Just remember who's piloting the plane. He's your daddy. He's going to take you home. Right? Amen.